Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Glorious weather we've been having here. Welcome to Backspin Golf. And I'm very excited, before we even talk about what's coming up on the show this morning, how about Riders Up? I love that I'm going to follow every Sunday morning Frankie Lyons and Stage Door Johnny on Riders Up. That is a, even if you don't really know about horse racing like me, what a great listen that is. They're really terrific. The whole Irish thing gets me anyway, but Frankie is, he truly is one of a kind, and John does a great job also. So very happy to have them on preceding Backspin Golf every Sunday morning. All right, we got a really good show, as always, lined up for your listening pleasure here. Perry French will join me. He has some very interesting thoughts on the state of the game of golf in terms of the younger generation that I think you'll find really interesting. And then, I shouldn't have laughed. My brother Mitch Lawrence will join me. I just had a vision, Sean, of something that happened when we were nine. Made me laugh. That's all. My brother Mitch Lawrence will join me. A lot of times we like to tell you about some great things happening either in the world of golf in terms of equipment or in terms of places to play. My brother does a great podcast about golf getaways. But we're going to talk about a golf shoe that we've discovered that we think you guys might really enjoy. And then the great Anne Liguori will join me from New York, the original sports talk radio host on WFAN in New York, one of the biggest stations for sports talk radio that's ever been and still is in New York. And Anne is an accomplished author, and she still covers golf and tennis for CBS Sports and WFAN. So she'll join me in this packed show in our hour that we have here. So stick around. When we come back, Perry French will join us right here. Sorry, that was a little loud. I just woke Sean up. Right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Srixon Cleveland Golf.
Perry French. That's a made-up name, isn't it?
Made up?
Yeah, it's nobody has that name. That's a either, you know, I was in show business for a long time.
Yes.
That's either an actor name. Like, you know, Transformers 8, starring Perry French.
Mm. I mean, well, you know, it could be. It's not a pseudonym from those. It's nothing.
All right.
Yeah, it is my birth name.
It's a really good sports name.
It is?
All those.
Good. All right.
All right. I mean, I'm always singing
I know, very
my hello to
this
you,
morning.
But
jeez,
it just struck me. Perry French. It's I don't know. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, that's
you're busy. Golf. You're a busy guy.
It's golf. Golf is in the meat of the season. Wow, it's been a really busy spring so far. Finally, the weather breaking, but it's been a fast and furious. As we're sitting here getting ready for the U.S. Open, it's like we are. Yeah, it's June.
Wait, we just said 62 days. Till
was it
the
just
Masters?
The Masters? Yeah. It seemed like we were waiting for that to happen. Once that Masters took place,
boom.
And it's just been a crazy run, and a lot of things happen out there in the tour that have making some not too so good news out there, and we've got some injuries with some key players, and trying to figure out who's going to be in this hunt for the U.S. Open and Jack's tournament this weekend. So it should be a kind of this will be a good preview because most everybody will be there this weekend,
right? The thing is, and then once again, there are guys that are so stinking good that we don't ever talk about. For example, a guy named Kevin Kistner.
Yeah, hello. He's been in the hunt for the last year and a half.
Yeah, but
trying to win golf tournaments.
We don't ever talk about him. I mean, we don't.
It's a kind of a fact. They seem to be the tour, as I say they, that really good group of players from, we'll tell you, 20 to 80
right.
that could win every week.
Right.
But we just don't talk about them because they're not Phil Mickelson, Justin Thomas.
Rory, Jason Day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they're as good.
Yeah.
And now they have to make that next step. They got to show up in a major. They got to contend for a major. They got to put a major on the board.
Right.
I think those are the things that we always, as we follow golf, you know, who's got having one major is a whole lot better than none. You know, and you can win a lot on the tour, and that's you're going to get more talked about if you've got one major.
But even that one, Rich Beam.
Rich Beam.
I mean, how many of the guys, Y.E. Yang?
He beat one guy that was
playing pretty good golf then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so it's even gotten to the point where even if you win a major.
Right. Yeah.
And that's it, and then you kind of fade off. That's like, okay, he got hot for 4 days, you know, one time. But but these guys, they're going to, Kevin Kistner guys.
Right.
They're going to have longevity on the tour. Right. They're going to make a ton of money. And they're always going to – they'll be every President's Cup, Ryder Cup.
They'll be in the mix.
Be some of those guys and everything. And
PJ says it best. These guys are good.
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of thing. Now, this week I think we'll see maybe some of these guys who have been really good at the first part of the wraparound season that have kind of fallen off here in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Our guy – Hideki Matsuyama really hasn't played well since winning at Arizona, out at Phoenix.
In Phoenix, yeah.
Really, I mean, I say we'd all like to play as well as he's playing, against the leaders out there, he's kind of he was in the top number five in the world, I believe, at one time. He's fallen back a little bit. We saw Jordan Spieth finally play well at the Colonial. Got a little home cook in there and got really solid. Had a great week and almost had a win.
I actually wanted him to win. Kistner.
No, that was good. Big win for him to knock off Jordan as a defending champion there too. And then Rory's been hurt. Will he play? I don't think he's playing this week. I don't believe he is.
Yeah. And which is a big loss for the Memorial. And I'm sure Jack wishes he were there. But the only thing that matters to him is getting ready for Aaron Hills. I mean, by the way, speaking of Aaron Hills.
Okay.
Have you seen the video that was up on Twitter a couple days ago, two or three days ago, of somebody had a camera taking a video.
GoPro, something like that.
And they were two steps off the first cut of rough at Aaron Hills in the fairway.
Okay.
And he's holding the camera. Now picture this. You're looking at his feet. He takes two steps. The first step is in the first cut. The second step off the fairway is 2 foot high grass. 2 foot high, the kind that waves in the wind.
Yeah.
That
wispy, yes.
2 feet. He dropped the ball.
So we've got British Open, U.S. Open.
Gone.
We knew that going into play.
Gone.
I'm surprised that we don't have I haven't seen this as well, but that we're not getting that 20 feet.
Right.
What is the third cut, right?
Yeah.
Second cut of roughing is the third cut.
Mm-hmm.
Fairway, first cut, second cut.
Right.
I hope that hole is a short hole. I mean, maybe it was one of those holes that was, you know, a drivable par four where you're hitting up, lying up with an iron, not trying to hit drive.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe every fairway is like that.
That'll be interesting to see.
Well, I mean, it's the U.S. Open. And if you hit it 10 feet off the fairway, if it's going to be like they were showing yesterday, it's the ball's gone.
Well, we know that is a little bit of U.S. Open lore there.
The USGA likes it.
They like you to pitch out.
Yeah. They want even par to win the golf tournament.
Right.
Or plus five to win
plus
the golf
five would
tournament.
Be, that'd be fine with them.
Yeah.
this should be a very interesting challenge. Aaron Hills, a guy obviously coming kind of from the how'd this get into the rotation?
Yeah.
You know, it's a kind of a revitalized property that's been around, and they revamped it, of course, yeah. And got the U.S. Open there. So it's never hosted an event.
Right.
So this is where it's kind of I'll say it's not Chambers Bay-esque.
Right.
Because Chambers Bay had hosted.
Right.
But it's a trial run. The fact that maybe it's in Wisconsin, the I think the playability would be a little different than what it was out there west. I don't think it'll be that runaway golf course that we saw. It'll be probably more to what you're saying, high rough and maybe some British Open style play if they're letting 2 foot
we'll
high
see.
Grass grows.
We'll see.
But I'm looking forward to that. It really kicks off the majors when we get a U.S. Open
champion. Now, before we get to another topic that I want to talk to you about, I came across this.
Mm.
You're a stats guy. You love your stats. Major championship performance since the beginning of 2013. That's 4 years, right? Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. This is a comparison in the majors.
Okay.
2 wins each. Rounds in the 60s. Spieth, 21. McIlroy, 21. They both played 58 rounds. Strokes. Spieth, 4,108. McIlroy, 4,108.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Scoring average, 70.3, both of them.
Yeah.
Score to par, minus 18, both of them. How incredible.
Yeah, that's...
Both of them, the exact same number of shots?
Mm-hmm.
That
falls way in the hard-to-believe
Ripley's
category.
Yeah, kinda,
I mean, that's just... I'm stumped. That's great. I don't know what to say. Really amazing.
And
stat.
here's the great thing about this too. And I gotta find where I got it and dig deeper because I would like to know how those two compare to the rest of the field.
Yeah. So that's I
in
thought
those majors.
Be how that.
Yeah.
We've got who else won twice in that period? How many years ago was
2013.
So we got 5 years, 4 years, of, 3 years of majors.
Right.
So it's 12 majors.
3 years and one major so far.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because
we had the Masters.
Counting the Masters.
So,
we'll figure.
It'll be an interesting thing to track as we get into 2 weeks from here to the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you just hope
stat.
That Rory's okay.
Need to have him be in the hunt, be well. These injuries with the golfers, it's starting to take its toll. You know, we lose Dustin Johnson at the Masters on the incredible role he was on. I just hate to see these guys miss the Masters.
Well, we always want
major events
in any sport. Everybody's best.
Yeah.
We want the team to be at full strength in basketball. You want the best out there.
Right.
So it's not tainted when you win. All right.
Lessened.
Lessened is a good word too. Okay. Here now next. As we were getting ready to have our little fireside chat here,
yes,
as we always do, we talk. Something comes up and we talk about it, and I think it's an interesting point. Many of our listeners and myself, we have kids that either are playing golf or we would like to get them into the game of golf so they have a lifelong passion for it. You had a very interesting conversation with our buddy Mike Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Mike Fields. About what's going on in the world of golf as it relates to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you
share
your thoughts?
We're just looking at, you know, the industry has seen a lot of competitive junior golf really blossom, and we saw, you know, we're seeing it at all. Girls and boys, a lot of opportunities to play and compete at high levels and get introduced to it in competitive, which is great. That's going to help continue to fuel the fire for these kids to be involved with golf for a lifetime.
Right.
But the next level of junior players, to me, is the ones that I'm more concerned about, is the ones who are going to be doctors and lawyers and the working class who aren't going to be as competitive in that aspect, but that wants golf will be
a
fabric.
Who at 10 aren't already looking to make golf their either their job
but
or
they,
get a scholarship.
But they, it's
or,
a summertime activity.
Right.
It's buddies, friends. We do have junior golf camps at the clubs and the courses, and those are fine. They're obviously great, but they're typically just a window. It's a week long. It's 2 hours in the morning for 5 consecutive Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, but it's not creating that what we used to see where the kids were gathering. I'll call it the caddy shack for lack of a better way to describe it, but was hanging around, playing golf, chipping, pitching, putting, and members and golfers, whether it was a public course or a private course. There was always a group of I'll call them mentoring golfers that were willing to play golf with the kids and take them out for a round and get to know them. And they would be their pseudo-golfing parents, even though if their parents were working and couldn't play.
Or didn't play. You were talking about when Preston was 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to let him, we took him to the golf course in the neighborhood. It was a daily fee course. It was two or three miles from the house. But the pros knew him, and the people that he got to play golf with would, you know, I'd go out there, pick him up at the end of the day. It'd be 6, 7 hours, 8 hours. He'd be coming up the 18th hole, the 9th hole, and these people would be laughing and say, "This kid's great. You know what? I can't believe it." You know,
people, strangers.
Total strangers.
Right.
Now, the golf pros knew who they were.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that. But I think we've lost that connection where people are a little less, they're less comfortable with that scenario. And there are reasons, and I understand that. But we'd like to see that more, because that player who's out there and getting socialized by that experience will find golf as a way to continue to be socialized as when they're older, as they're getting into the working world, and as they work through their career, they'll look to golf as a way to, hey, I need to meet people. I want to continue to be competitive in some sort.
Right.
And that's where golf does stand the test of time that way. I've talked to a lot of people, just a couple of friends are saying that their dad got into golf when he was 50 years old. I said, that's awesome. I mean, that's what you want to have happen. You can't, that's the thing about golf, is you don't have to be 10 to get in the game of golf and have it be a lifetime sport, because anytime you pick it up, it can become a lifetime sport.
I was 31.
There you go. Perfect
when
example.
I stopped.
You were busy trying to make a, you know, make yourself a career, and it became, you know, a passion of yours as it turned out.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in that scenario where you got to go to the golf course and all messed around, just never did see
me?
It? Yeah, you were in the city, didn't have that. Yeah.
We were. I told you, we used to beat guys up that played golf. We played football,
well, there
basketball,
you go. So there's
baseball,
a perfect social example.
And if somebody when I grew up played golf. A, in New York, it meant you had a lot of money because there were no public courses around where I was. I mean, there may have been
was
one.
Was it near Eisenhower Park?
Yeah, but not near me. I mean, and the thing, there were a lot of private courses.
Sure, big.
Where I
grew
up.
Big private.
But it meant you had a lot of money.
Yeah.
And you were wearing those ridiculous, you know, the older guys that even when I was 10, 12, 14, I knew were ridiculous looking. I mean, we had no desire to play golf. All right. Well, this will be continued.
We'll look to see people getting active with their kids out the golf course.
All right. We're going way too long.
I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go on Backspin Golf. How about that, Sean? It's the new Backspin song. Great guests every week, some of whom I'm talking to for the first time, some I'm talking to for the 4 millionth time, like my brother Mitchie, better known as Mitch Lawrence, down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we got a couple of things to touch on today. Hi, Mitchie.
Well, Matt, how are you?
Wait, put Mitchie on the phone. Who was that?
Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah. Hey, Mitchie.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, that's better. Much better. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm in the seaside golf capital of the world. What could be better?
Is that what it's called? Is that an actual phrase in Myrtle Beach?
That is the actual phrase.
Say it again.
The seaside golf capital of the world, and it would be hard to argue with it.
All right, you don't have to get defensive. I just asked. Now, wait. I'm trying to think, is there any place that is even a close second? No, because how many golf courses are there in Myrtle Beach?
Well, it's kind of fluctuated over the, you know, the last 2 years because courses have closed. But it's probably still up around over a 60-mile stretch of the Grand Strand. It's probably still around 90, I would think.
Is that all? I mean, we have 5 great public courses just in Lexington alone.
Well, that's why you're the Midwest golf capital of the world.
Yeah. Or the South. We can't get into this discussion. I don't understand. Everybody talks about being in the South here. And how far are we from Cincinnati? Which is Ohio, which is, I'm not mistaken, is kind of north in this country. Sean disagrees. Anyway, yeah. It is north, right? All right. Come to your senses, Sean. All right, Mitchie.
Yeah.
Before we talk about your really, really, and I'm not saying this because I'm your brother, but fantastic series of Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, which I want to talk to you about. And I'll give everybody the ways to find you, and you have more. You're pretty active social media guy, is all I can say. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here, but we'll get to that in a minute. Before that, a little story for our listeners. Now, when you have an identical twin brother, there are a lot of times in your life where you're jealous. I'm just speaking for me, Mitchie. I'm not speaking for you. I'll just say
I've been jealous too.
Okay.
It works both ways.
Okay. Where I've been jealous of things that my twin brother has had and I don't have, because I feel like we're twins. We should have the same things for the most part. One of those things, I was down in Myrtle Beach about a month ago, and you came out with these just really cool shoes on. And I said, "What are those?" And you said, they're called Bions, and I don't. How would you describe these shoes? And for our listeners, this is a public service announcement, because these are the greatest shoes I've ever. I'll get to that. How would you describe the shoe, which is not just a shoe, like a casual shoe to go to Kroger with? It's a golf shoe, first and foremost. How do you describe it?
Well, I'll tell you how I came upon them about a year and a half ago at the PGA Merchandise Show down in Orlando. I have a dear friend who I've known for years named Vanessa Price.
Yeah.
Who lives out in California and has a company called Read the Greens Golf Media. And she does wonderful work for a lot of companies for marketing and PR and different things. And I would see her every year at the show, and she said, "Well, I'm representing this company, Bion. It's a Canadian company. You should come by the booth." So I did, and was in the midst of the monstrosity of the PGA Merchandise Show.
Yeah.
Was this booth full of the most colorful golf shoes that I'd really ever seen. And basically what they are is, if people are familiar with Crocs.
Yes, everybody is, yeah.
That's kind of the first hit you get, is that it's sort of like that. But what you quickly realize is it's nothing like Crocs.
Yeah.
Because these are slip-on shoes that are made of unbelievable material. They're not plastic like Crocs are.
Right.
And here's some scientific for you. They're made of ethylene vinyl acetate.
Yeah, well, I knew that. I mean, as soon as I put them on,
I knew. You're such a science guy.
Though. I am.
You would know it. I would speak to your listeners.
Yeah, okay.
But the shoes are unlike anything I have worn. And as you know, I've played golf barefoot a lot. And to me, it's a great way to play golf. I've always loved doing it. And this is the closest thing that I'd ever found that actually let me feel, with the shoe on, like as close to barefoot as you can get. They're incredibly light.
Yep.
They are, the amount of colors and patterns and different things that they have is staggering. And I started, thanks to Vanessa at that point, got a couple pair. And in the year and a half since then, and this is no exaggeration, I literally wear them every day whether I'm playing golf or not. You just slip them on. There's no shoelaces, nothing. They kind of form fit to your feet after a little while. They're pretty much odor-free, which is amazing. You can throw them in the washing machine. You can just clean them off with a brush. And as you know, because you've played in them already, they've got a honeycomb patterned sole that's fantastic for golf.
Yeah.
And I have not yet, and I've found a lot of golf shoes, I have never found anything like this that I literally don't want to wear anything else, even during the day when I'm nowhere near a golf course.
Yeah, and that's, you told me all that, and as always, even though I'm jealous of things you have, I'm also skeptical, you know, because I could just say this with some certainty. You and I tend towards the hyperbole. That's how we've always been. So when you say to me, "This is the greatest golf shoe I've ever worn," I go, I take it down a little, as everybody, as you do with me, and everybody does with us. So to make a long story, longer story shorter, I said I wanted some. So I came back. I was with you in Myrtle Beach last week, and I came back, and there they were. Everett, my 13-year-old, was so excited when I took them out. I got the tan ones. They have a neon green sole on them. And I wore them the next day, just doing stuff around town. And then Monday morning, I played golf in them. And they're the greatest golf shoes I've ever had. Not even close. Hands down.
Feet down.
Yeah. Or as I said to Vanessa, you and I are now on equal footing, which I thought was brilliant.
Brilliant might be the hyperbole you were talking about, but yeah,
no, it's actually not. It was brilliant anyway. When we played, we had had a lot of rain here. The course was still a little wet. Perfect stability, which allows me to swing in the way I'm accustomed to on a wet golf course, even though it was wet. You know, the full extension through the ball, getting into my left side. You know, all the golf stuff. I can't even believe I just said that. But all kidding aside, they are the best shoes. And for all our listeners, here's what you do. You go to, hold on, I'm pulling it up, buyonfootwear.com, B-I-I-O-N, footwear.com. And just check it out. As Mitchie said, the style, the colors are amazing, just amazing. And I'm already picking out. I figure when I get through, I'll have probably 10 pair of these, and you know, I'll just wear them every day for the rest of my life. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, the great thing is that they have kind of classic, like they have all black and all white and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then they have all these different neon things, and like I said, different patterns. Next spring, they're coming out with a full line of kids, which are amazing. Also, I've seen those, and they're great for kids. I mean, they can wear them all over the place. You don't have to worry about them. Like I said, you just clean them easily. So, if you go to the website, you'll get a real hit on how innovative and how creative this company is. And I say that again, having seen a lot of creativity in golf. But this is kind of a different, as far as shoes go, this is a whole different thing.
All right. That, as I said, is a PSA for our listeners, because on the show we like to share great things about golf equipment-wise, all different kinds of things. And this class, it was one of those to me, so I'm glad we could talk about it. All right. Now, in the couple minutes we got left, Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. You can go to golfnewsnet.com. You can follow Mitch on both Twitter and Instagram, at Mitch Lawrence, and it's L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, as you all know who listen, and Talking Golf Getaways on Facebook. Is that all? Is there anything else? Did I miss something? Jeez.
No, that's pretty good.
Holy cow. All right. So you and Darren, your buddy Darren, get to take these amazing trips and video the stuff and write about it and do podcasts and talk about it. And they're fantastic, and you're getting ready to take another one. Talk about being jealous.
Yeah, we are. Darren is Darren Bunch, who's out in California and who's been involved on the golf and travel and destination side for almost 20 years with Golf Getaways Magazine and Fairways and Greens Magazine. And he and I started the podcast in November of last year, and we're up to 75 that have been on. And we talk to everybody. We talk to people who other, you know, listeners would know in the golf world. We talk to regular golfers who've taken great trips. We the podcast has really been fun and a way to connect people with destinations and trips and tips and different ways to play and all kinds of information that both Darren and I are interested in. Really, the biggest word is fun. We really concentrate on how do we make all of this more fun. And we're getting ready to take our second trip up to Cape Breton Island and the big part of Nova Scotia also up in Canada to go to play Cabot Links and then Cabot Cliffs, which opened earlier a few months ago. And we're going to go up in about a month now.
Mm.
So, yeah, we've taken some good ones. We were in Bandon, as you know, a couple months, beginning of March. And
where is that for our listeners?
Bandon Dunes out in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We get to travel. Darren actually does a lot more traveling than I do because for some reason he has arranged his life where he pretty much can live on the road if he wants. Apparently his wife doesn't care if he's around. But so we have a lot. We have a lot to offer. And Golf News Net, which you mentioned, is our home. It's the platform that we utilize with your friend and mine, Ryan Ballingy. And it's a great website. So the podcast shows up on Golf News Net. You can get it there if you're listening on a computer. That's a good place to do it.
Right.
If you have a mobile device, then you go to iTunes or Audio Boom or Stitcher and get it on there, and that's really the way to do it. That's a great interactive way to do it. You can rate it. You can do all kinds of things. So I've been very lucky. It's a really fun kind of. It was unexpected when we decided to do it, and it turned out great.
Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, and listen to you. You know, if you need to go on the podcast, you can do it on Stitcher, and you're unbelievable. You're just unbelievable.
Apparently, even though we're 4 minutes apart, you're a lot older than I am.
What are you saying? I'm like the get off my lawn guy? Is that where you're?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I was just talking technologically.
Technologically, you'd be right. Although I have the 13 and 10-year-old who know them more than both of us put together. So, you know, anyway. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for introducing me to my shoes. And we'll catch up with you again. I'm sure there's some hickory deal we can talk about soon.
Yeah, that would be great. I could tell you about all the few clubs, the new one, the new old ones I got, if you want. But I'll do that some other time.
All right. Thanks. all right. Love you, man. Talk to you.
You too.
All right. See you.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Well, once again, joining us now, one of my absolute favorite people in the entire world, including all 7. Are there 7, Sean? Continents? Yes. All 7 continents. She's one of my favorite people on any of those continents. Groundbreaker. There's a term I don't get to use that often. The original WFAN 660 host in New York. The golf and tennis correspondent for WFAN and at CBS Sports Radio. The host and owner of the really iconic sports interview series. She's an author. She is a huge fundraiser for charity, and we'll talk about her foundation tournament in a minute. Anne Liguori joins me now, and I'm humbled and honored to have you once again.
Oh, you are so sweet. What an introduction.
How about that? And feel free to use it for anything you'd like.
Send me the tape. I'll use it.
Okay. We will. How are you doing?
You can introduce me every Saturday morning on my show.
You know, with FaceTime and stuff, we could do this when, like, you're emceeing your golf tournament. You could just put me on FaceTime, and I'll introduce you. You could carry me around wherever you want to go.
That'd be awesome.
Oh.
It'd be like Michael Buffer introducing the heavyweight champion.
Oh, I hate Michael Buffer. I'm better than Michael Buffer.
You are.
Anyway. Let's start off with, ever since this whole Tiger thing happened, obviously my last show last Sunday, this has happened since then because he was arrested on Monday. We've talked on my daily show about it, but reading your on Twitter with you, and you can follow her at Ann, AnnLiguori, Ann Liguori. You wrote a couple of really interesting things about Tiger and what should be important to all of us, not the dash cam video, not today. I saw, did you see they now have the stuff up about him actually at the jail sitting there?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
No.
All of this is, I keep saying all it does is make me sad. And
yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about what you wrote about this whole Tiger situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, it's very disturbing, and I really think he does need help. I approached the story with a lot of questions. You know, the status of Tiger Woods has been an ongoing giant question mark for a long, long time. And most of those questions related to his back issues and if and perhaps when he would return to playing golf again, right?
Yep.
But now there are just so many more questions. But basically I said, let's go back to an initial question that I've always had, which predates his arrest this past week. And that is, you know, and I'm not a doctor, obviously, but, you know, it has to do with the number of back surgeries that Tiger has had and why so many have been needed. I mean, he's had 4 back surgeries in the past 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously, consequently, he's in a lot of pain, a lot of nerve pain. He has made references to, you know, in the last couple of years. And, you know, nobody's really talking about this. Why has he needed so many surgeries? Is this normal in his situation? Who are his doctors? How come the first couple surgeries haven't worked? And then that leads you to, you know, the painkillers and the medications mm-hmm. prescribed, you know, to deal with the pain. And you know, he said he did not realize that the mix of medications would have that effect on him, you know, so strongly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that brings up so many different questions, you know. And he also said after his last back procedure that he hasn't felt this good in years.
Yeah.
So, you know, does that mean he's popping painkillers to feel good, or, you know, why is he taking so many painkillers because he is feeling so well?
Yeah.
You know, so
there's just a ton of unanswered
questions.
There's a ton of unanswered questions. You talked about the back surgeries. Now, those things, even, and you got to figure they're the best guys you can get if they were doing Tiger Woods' back. You have to figure that.
Absolutely.
My wife had a badly ruptured disc a little over 3 years ago, had back surgery, and thank God she's been okay. But on the other hand, we look at Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, who had back surgery which did not go well, and he is now suffering the consequences of that. But 4 in 3.5 years, you figure they should have been able to figure out how to do this. And you thought they did because, as you said, he said he felt better than he has in years.
Well, he's always spinning, you know, all these surgeries into very positive
right.
quotes that come out on his website. And I understand he wants to be positive and you know, he wants to keep his fans, you know, rooting for him and
yeah.
thinking that perhaps there is a chance for him to come back. But, you know, he has gone to different doctors, it seems, because I know in one surgery he said he went to Utah and had used doctors in Utah.
Right.
And, you know, it just seems like to me, and I'm guessing because, you know, there's so much about Tiger Woods that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fiercely private person, and I don't necessarily think, you know, the PR about him has been perhaps as responsible as it could have. I mean,
yeah.
first of all, how are all these people getting, you know, this footage of Tiger?
Yeah, well, released the police.
Is that
they've released the
property, or shouldn't it maybe his team go to the police officer and say, really, do you have to release this?
Yeah,
stuff?
I agree with that, but I I'm sure it has to do with public records and
sure.
We see dash cam videos released all the time now, but. It's
right.
this. People asked me yesterday, "Have you seen the video?" And I said, "I saw 10 seconds of it. It was too sad. I didn't want to see. I know what happened. I don't want to see it. You just told me what happened, and now I'm going to see it. I don't really want to look at it. All I know is that I'm very sad about this whole thing. And as you said eloquently in your comments online, he needs help, and we need to figure out why this stuff is going on. That's all we care about.
Right, and we don't know that much.
Right,
so
yeah.
Even his close friends don't seem to know, you know, that much.
Right.
And then there are all those questions about, you know, where was Woods and his vehicle prior to the police finding him asleep in his car
right.
and on the side of the road. I mean,
yeah.
the car had a lot of damage to it.
Yeah. We don't know if it was...
Did he hurt anybody
right.
before he got to that
yeah.
area where he was just sleeping with his
yeah.
car running? Or
well,
how did the car get so damaged? What was going on before the whole incident?
Yeah,
so,
I know.
All of that is one big mystery. And honestly, who knows if anybody will ever find out.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about something uplifting and wonderful. And that is, I can't believe this. This the 19th annual Anne LaGaurie Foundation Charity Golf Classic, which is scheduled for next week, June 8th, I think. And
that's right.
It's sold out for the 19th straight year. What are you giving away free money at the first tee? What are you doing up there?
Well, you know, what we're doing is we have, you know, great golf courses out here on the east end of Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, I mean, you know, they're very exclusive private clubs, and you just cannot play these golf courses unless you know a member. And they're, you know, they're not that many members.
Right.
So consequently, you know, we're at Maidstone in East Hampton this year, which is just a gem.
Founded in 1891, by the way, I'm reading here.
What's that?
It was founded in 1891, I'm reading
right?
here. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's just a gem. It really is special.
Yep.
And you just can't get on Maidstone unless you play in one of these charity events, and they don't host that many charity events.
Right.
Or unless you play with a member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last 3 years, we were at Friar's Head.
Yes.
Before that, we were at the Bridge and Symphonic and, you know, West Hampton Country Club. So I think the golf courses, obviously, are the big draw. But, you know, everybody has been affected by cancer, and the charity events benefit cancer research and cancer prevention. And
mm-hmm.
we've all been directly or indirectly affected by this horrible disease. And I think, I really honestly do believe that the people who support this event every year really do believe in the foundation and in our work and in the organizations that we do support, including, you know, St. Jude's and, Kids Need More, and all kinds of organizations that raise money and awareness for, you know, testicular cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. I mean, there's just
yeah.
so much cancer. And the people who support the event really all believe in what we do and are very generous and very supportive. And that's part of the golf community, as you know.
Yes.
The whole golf community is so charitable.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's just a wonderful event, and gosh, 19 straight years? I must have started when I was 12.
Come on, 13.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I love talking to you so much, and one of these days I would love to see you. It would actually be great to actually see you. Maybe I'll come up there and... We can.
Do you want to play next year for our big 20th anniversary?
Yes, I'm in.
Why don't you plan a trip to Long Island?
Okay.
Your roots, by the way.
It is, yes. I grew up there. That is correct.
You grew up in Long Island. And on the
yes.
east end, you know how beautiful it is out
yeah.
here this time of year.
Yep. All right. Done deal.
We'd love to have you.
Done deal. I'm making you a promise right now.
I'd love to have you.
Okay.
That would be so much fun.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll get you on our daily show, too, because... I would like all our listeners on that show to get to know you as I know you.
I would love to be, you know, anytime.
Okay.
Matthew, you're one of my favorites, too. So
well, thanks.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks. Love you. See you.
Love you, babe.
Bye. Well, the great Anne LaGaurie. Sean and I were just discussing. She was the original sports talk radio host on WFAN in New York, which is... It's got to be one of the biggest in the country. She was the original one, a woman, before Francesa and those two idiots, Russo or whoever. Anne was the original. Pretty amazing, and she's still doing great work. So thank you to her for joining us. I want to thank, of course, Perry French, our guy here. And who's the other guy? Oh, yeah. Mitch Lawrence.
Yeah, he's wait a minute. He's not funny looking. Wait a second. Well, I'm not. He may be, but I'm not. My brother Mitchie for joining us, and to our great sponsors, Lexington Parks and Rec, five great golf courses. Get out and play them. Edwin Watts, great stuff over there. Go over there and get stuff. This is good, right? And, of course, French Lick Resort, our favorite, about 2 hours, 15 minutes right here from downtown. Two incredible hotels, 51,000-square-foot casino, three great golf courses, including the Pete Dye course on the property at French Lick, which is, there are no words. Go see for yourself. All right. Have a great week. Hope you get to play some golf. And we'll be back next week right here, 8:03 tee time at the Square Country Club. Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Stay tuned for Dan and Mary Jo.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.